preached up there and brought back here. But here, let me ask you a question. This is the first Sunday of a new year. First Sunday of a new year. Why does God bless us? Why does God bless us? How does He bless us? If God has blessed us in the last year, why did He do it? How could He find justification to bless us in any way? How could God bless us in the coming year? What would cause God to bless us in the coming year? To give us anything? To give us any mercies? Give us any grace? Give us any strength? Give us anything good? What would cause Him to do that? Why would He do that? What would be the reason? Would it be because of our devotion? Would it be because of our prayers, how intense our prayers are and how faithful we are to pray? Would it be because of the purity or sincerity of our hearts? Would it be because of our faithfulness? Is that why God's blessed us the last year and why He'll bless us the next year? Because of our faithfulness? Because of our obedience? Because of our holiness? No, we all know if God blesses us in any way whatsoever, whether it's a spiritual blessing or a temporal blessing, if it was conditioned on us, we'd never ever know what a blessing from God was. All we'd know would be a curse. We'd be walking around in darkness, deadness, lifelessness. But the only reason God does anything for anyone is here in verse 32. The only reason God does anything for anyone, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, and here it is, three words, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. That's the reason God does anything for anybody. That's for Christ's sake. And look over here in Ephesians 1:3. And these are the blessings. These are the true blessings. The blessings that count. There in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed. And that's what Paul, you know, he's blessing God. Since God blesses him, he blesses God. And those who God blesses, they turn around and bless God. Those who God give to, they turn around and give back to God the thanks and the blessing and the praise for it all. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. To God be the glory. Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord. But unto Thy name be glory. And no, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly in Christ. In Christ. And spiritual blessings, those are the true blessings. Those are the true blessings. Now everybody, we know, I thank God, and I know you do, I thank God. We sang that song this morning, and that one, we walked through the hills, the forest, the glens, the glades, and all that. And you know, we do that. We do that. I give thanks unto God for my home. Oh, I bless God for it. For the peace and love of God that's there, a good, comfortable place to live. That I can have a nice bed to sleep in. I'm very grateful for that. And I thank God for He's pleased to give me all these things on my way to the celestial city. Gave me my family. Gave me a wife. And he that findeth a good wife obtaineth favor of the Lord. And you know, and then He gave us children, and He gave us grandchildren, and gave us great joy in this world, gave us great blessings in this world. And I'm thankful for every one of them. I'm thankful for every time that I've been able to sit outside and look around me and say, God, this is something that You've given. This is something that I see that You gave me eyes to see. that I enjoy greatly. Doug and I was over at his place one day, and he took me to all these hills, and we looked around, and he says how many times he goes out and rides around, just sits there and thanks God for the things that he can see and that he can enjoy and rejoice in. And all of you all do that. And then I certainly give thanks to God, and I bless God for you. I bless God for you. You're talking about a blessing. You all are such a blessing. You're gifts from God to me. You're gifts from God to me. What blessings, what joy you brought to me. What joy. Paul said, you know, he wrote to him, says, you're my joy and my crown. And if I have any evidence of being called to preach at all, you're my joy and you're my crown. You're the evidence of it. And I thank God for you. And I bless God for you. This is a blessing from God. And sometimes we have this great joy, sometimes the sorrow comes our way. But still yet, it's all for Christ's sake. I understand that God gave you for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. But let's look at these spiritual blessings. Talking about the things that we have in Christ. You know, people say all the time, well, God sure blessed them with wealth. Does that mean that people don't have a lot of wealth, they're not blessed of God? You'll say, God certainly blessed them with health. That means that people that don't have health, that means that God's cursed them. God certainly blessed them with beauty. Does that mean that somebody's kind of homely? Does that mean that God didn't bless them? So you see, we get all out of whack over these blessings.
All right.
We really, truly do. And we want to talk about the blessings that count. The blessings that God has given us. What He gave us in Christ, those are the things that count. Those, when we come time to leave this world, the only thing that's going to matter, what we have in Christ.
Amen.
And look what the first thing He done. All these spiritual blessings. In verse 4, He chose us in Christ. Thank God for His electing grace. Blessed according as He hath chosen us. That's why Paul blessed God for these blessings. And he started out with this spiritual blessing. According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Chosen in Christ, elected of God. Do you know what it is to be chosen of God, elected of God, and chosen of God before the world ever began? Before time, as Scott used to say all the time, before time ever was? And you know that before God put us in Him, in His blessed Son, before the world ever began? And election is something that we bless God for. We thank God for. You see, election, people find fault with it. But if God had not elected us and chosen us, where would we be? Just exactly where we'd have been born? Exactly, we'd still be rebels and we'd still be just where we always would have been. So the only reason we come to God is because God come to us. The only reason we chose Him is because He chose us. The only reason we call on Him because He called on us. We seek Him because He sought us. And oh, look over here in Isaiah 42 with me just a moment. In Isaiah 42. You know, Christ was God's first elect. And then we were chosen in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's first elect. He said in Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring judgment or bring truth to the Gentiles. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was God's first elect. And He was the one that God set up from all eternity to be the Lamb slain from the foundation. For us to be chosen in Him, to have a head of a particular race, to be the people, covenant head of a particular people. And here's the situation, beloved. A holy God could not deal with us as we are. Not even from eternity He couldn't. Before Adam ever sinned, God couldn't deal with us and had always dealt with us in Adam. There'd be not one soul saved on top side of God's earth. So God chose us in Christ and chose Christ to be the head of a particular people. And our holy God could not deal with us as we are personally. So what He done, He chose His blessed Son, set His Son up from all eternity to be the head, to be this elect person, to be the mediator, to be the surety, to be the go-between, to be a substitute, to be in our stead, to be our mediator, and then He chose us in Him.
Amen.
There sat the Son in all of His glory. And God said, I'm going to give you a people, and you're going to be the redeemer of those people, the substitute for those people, the mediator for those people, the surety for those people. I'll never require anything from them. I'll require it all from you, but I'm going to give them all to you. And we were chosen in Christ. And this is the kicker before the foundation of the world. That was before me and you ever had an idea there was a world. And then look what else it says here. That we should be holy and without blame before in Him. How in the world are we going to be holy without blame? Holy in Him. Oh, then look in verse 5. And I love this. Having predestinated, here's another one of them blessings. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And here again is by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His Son. Now what does adoption mean? Now see, here's the thing about it. God only had one son. One son's all He had. But that son was so wealthy. God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He inhabits eternity. And He committed everything to that son. And that blessed son, God chose us in that son. And He only had one son. But He had so much wealth and He had so much glory and He had so much pleasure and so much grace and so much justification and everything that we would need. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to adopt a family. To make them legally heirs. That's what adoption has to do with. It has to do with us being legally heirs. And so since Christ is the heir, and we were adopted into the family of God, that means that we are as much an heir as the Son is.
Amen.
Ain't that right? It's like when Abraham sent Eliezer down to get a bride for his son Isaac. You know what, Isaac? You know what the first thing he says? God has made His son to be the heir of everything. But what is He heir of? Well, here's some gold. Here's some silver. Here's some beautiful clothes. You reckon you'll go with Him? I'm going to go with Him. Look over in Romans 8. Keep Ephesians. Look in Romans 8 with me just a moment. 8:16. You know, and here's the thing. People talk about, you know, they walk around and people, you know, they show on television these wealthy people in their homes and all of that. Listen, they ain't got a home even close to compare to the home we have. Oh, no, no. I mean, you know, I'm talking about there. And they talk about wealth. Wealth? You're talking about wealthy. Would you rather have the wealth that you have in Christ or have the wealth of Bill Gates? I'd rather have the wealth of Christ. Wouldn't you? And you know how many times it talks about His riches of His glory, the riches of His grace, made wealthy in Christ. And look what it said here in Romans 8:16. So He made us heirs. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart. The Spirit of adoption. And so He says, and if you're children then, what's this? Then you're heirs. Heirs of who? Heirs of who? You know, everybody here is going to leave somebody something. A lot of people leave nobody nothing but debts. A lot of people leave just a little bit of money. Some people leave a house. Everybody's going to leave somebody something. God says that we're His children. And we're heirs, and this is, listen, heirs of God. And what's this? And joint heirs with Christ. And listen, if so be that we suffer with Him, we're going to be glorified together with Him. Here's the thing, beloved. Everything that God has, He gave to His Son, and everything the Son inherits, We get. What did the Son inherit? He inherited eternity. What did the Son inherit? He inherited glory. What did the Son inherit? He inherited grace. What did the Son inherit? He inherited a throne. And what did the Son inherit? He inherited a crown. And everything He has, we get too. We get to walk and be with Him through all eternity and get treated like children. Not outcast. And oh, that's why it goes on to say back over here in Ephesians 1, He adopted us, predestinated to this adoption. And He'd done this to the praise of His glory, of His grace. And listen, He made us accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. And then, oh, let me show you another blessing. Down in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. You're talking about a blessing. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. According, again, there's some of that wealth according to the riches of His grace. Now, beloved, when it talks about redeemed in Him, here's the thing. We were in bondage. In bad bondage. Slaves to sin. Slaves to self. Slaves to free will. Slaves to tradition. Slaves to our self-righteousness. And what redemption means, it means to buy out. It means purchasing us a slave with the intentions of setting that slave free. Now, we were all slaves to sin, in bondage to the law, in bondage to the justice of God, slaves to sin. And God, in Christ, set Him up to be our Redeemer. And it means to set free on receiving a ransom. To release by paying that ransom price. When the price has been paid, the person in bondage has to be let go. Huh? Look over in Romans 3 with me just a moment. You know, if Christ died for something, Christ redeemed something, He's going to get it. He's going to get it. You know, you get these coupons to redeem this, redeem that, and do this other thing. That means you go take it and you get what you pay for. Well, Christ paid for His elect. How did He pay with them? He paid with His blood. He paid with His life. He paid with His death on Calvary's cross. His blood was shed out. That lamb that's slain, the blood ran from the altar. As Moose wrote in his hymn. And here we were, we inhaled by God's justice, and He can't let us go. We're sinners. We were held by sin, and we can't break the chains of sin. People say, stop your sinners. I would to God we could. And oh, and he goes on and he says, oh my, the ransom's been paid. And that's why this idea of free willism, this idea, you know, that Christ died for you, and still yet, until you cooperate with Him, until you let Him, until you have the faith to activate His blood, is hatched in hell itself. I mean, if Christ saved His people, will they be saved? If Christ paid for somebody, will they be set free? If He shed His blood for somebody, has the payment been made? Oh, now I'll tell you, look what He said here in Romans 3:24. And this is just being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. What's it in? In Christ Jesus. Oh my. We were redeemed. Oh my. I paid for that fellow. Here we was. It's like a man being on the slave market. And I mean he's worthless. He's used up. His strength is gone. He's old and he's stooped. And he's weak and he's helpless. He is worth nothing to nobody. What do you give for this slave? Nothing. He ain't worth anything. He ain't got no strength. He can't do any work. He's ready for hell. He's black in his heart. He's weak in his mind. He ain't got anything. Who's going to pay for him? Well, that's what we were.
Yes, sir.
Black-hearted. Black-minded, weak,
helpless, old, decrepit, sin, helpless in bondage till we could not raise ourselves up. And Christ stood up and said, I'll buy him. I'll pay for him. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I'll buy him. Let him go.
Yeah.
And the minute they let him go, he gives strength. He has the ability to make them like they're brand new.
Which we'll get to that in later. And oh, beloved, and we were redeemed from sin, slaves to it. And how were we redeemed? He gave himself. In 1 Peter 1:18, you've seen that so many times, but you don't need to turn there. I'll just quote it to you. We were redeemed not with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Redeemed from the vain conversation, the vain manner of life that you lived. And I'm telling you something. Everybody that's without Christ lives a vain life. I mean, you're living a vain life. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what kind of life you're living, how good you think you are, how smart you think you are, what accomplishments you're making, how successful or whatever you are. I'm telling you this, that you've got a vain life. It's absolutely vain. You're going to live your life, you're going to be vain all the way through your life, and you're going to die in vanity, and you'll be in vanity all the days of your, all throughout eternity. And Christ redeemed us from this vain manner of life. Useless, empty manner of life. And listen to this. And from the traditions.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I like.
Yeah.
From we were in bondage to tradition. How many people here was in bondage to traditions?
Same songs, we didn't even listen to the hymns of them. Didn't even listen to the words.
Went to altars because that's what everybody had been doing.
Let people stand up and testify because that's all we ever knew. Everybody had to have a song. Everybody had to have a word. Everybody had to have something to say because it's all hearts and minds clear yet. Man, I tell you, you learn after a while to quit saying that. Some people's minds and hearts never clear. Are they, Floyd?
Well, I better ask Bruce that. He knows more about people than anybody. But that's what I'm talking about.
From these old traditions. Thank God He saved us from our traditions.
And His redeeming blood, His redeeming death. It says there, forgiveness of sins. He purchased a complete forgiveness of all of our sin, our justification. Now justice must let us go. Why? Because the ransom price has been paid.
Yes, sir.
He saved us from the penalty of sin, power of sin, the power of the guilt of sin, and now we've been set free to live and worship the one true and living God. Huh? And oh, let me show you this in 2 Corinthians 5. I got to hurry. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're talking about these spiritual blessings. Chosen. Adopted. Accepted. Redeemed. Now we're going to talk about creation. Created in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what's that? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, when we were dead, we were strangers. We were foreigners. We were without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. But it said here, if any man be in Christ, how in the world do you get in Christ? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of Him are you in Christ. Who put you in Christ? God put us in Christ. And of Him are you in Christ. And so, if we're in Christ, and that's the key, not being in the church.
That's right.
Not being in a denomination. Not being in a baptistry pool. No. Being in Christ. And you know the scripture said in 1 Corinthians 12:13, and all ye are baptized into one body. by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit put us in Christ. And that's how we get in Christ. You just don't get in Christ by raising your hand. You don't get in Christ by walking the Romans road. You get in Christ by the Spirit of God putting you in Christ. And oh, beloved, His redeeming work, what happens? We talked about redemption. His redeeming work must be applied. And how is it applied? The Holy Spirit applies it. And when He talks about here being a new creature, it means being a new creation. Our Lord told Nicodemus, said, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit and water, He said, he can't even see the kingdom of God. So how in the world are you going to get in it? So being a new creature, everything's new in Christ. All the old is in Adam. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Everything's new in Christ. All the old's in Adam. We have a new name. God gave us a new name. He gave us a new nature. Made partakers of the divine nature. And you know, let me tell you something about that. When God gives a man a new nature, when he's regenerated by the Spirit of God, He brings into existence a man who never was there before. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that He brings into existence someone. That's why, you know, we have babes in Christ, young men in Christ, old men. You take somebody that's 10 years old, would you think they was an adult? Well, that's the way it is in Christ. We grow in Christ. And so you see in this talk, we have been given a new nature. And the nature never existed before. Let me ask you this. Did you ever know what sin was until you had a new nature? Was you ever conscious of God until He gave you that new nature? Was you ever conscious that your righteousness was as a filthy rag until you got a new nature? Did you ever desire God until He gave you a nature to desire it? With what eyes now do you see the Lord Jesus Christ? You certainly don't see Him with these eyes. With what heart do you worship? You certainly don't worship with that one that's pumping blood. With what mind do you love the will of God and love the Word of God? It's not just brain in your head. So that's what we're talking about here. And that's what I mean. A nature never existed. Old things are passed away. Our old standing is passed away. Now we stand in Christ. Our old relation to law is passed away. We're no longer under law, but we're under grace. Our relationship to God, His new relationship. Our old opinions, our old views, our old plans, our old desires, our old principles, our old affections, they're all gone. And all things have become new. We now have new views of the truth. There was a time we didn't know the truth. We have right views of the truth, new views of the truth. We have, beloved, new principles to how we live in this world, how we treat other people. We have a new look, a new apprehension of man is the way he is, not the way we think he is. As much as I love little old Ryan and she loves me, I know what that child is. She is born in sin, she is shaped in iniquity, and she'll grow up. And she'll commit sins all the days of her life if God don't have mercy on her and change her. Now ain't that right? And I would lay my life down for her a snap of a finger. But I'm not a bit deceived in what a human being is. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? And oh, we have new apprehensions of men. Now we understand that grace saves us, not works. And oh, beloved, and we have new purposes. New purposes. Oh, new desires. We have them, all these things in Christ. New purposes for the soul. They govern the soul. And why? Because it says in verse 18 here of 2 Corinthians 5, because all things are of God. That's why, James. All things are of God. Somebody said one time, that's high doctrine. I don't know if it's high, if it's low, whatever it is. I know it's Bible doctrine. I know it's the truth. All things are of God. Huh? All things are of God, and God hath created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. And listen, which He before ordained. Huh? And I know, go back over here in Ephesians just a moment. Let me show you something out of, you're in Ephesians, and look up here in Galatians. If you're in Ephesians 1, look up in Galatians chapter 15. And that's what is so, you know, there's people here. I don't know if this is true or not. I really don't know. But I know what I think, I know what I feel, have my opinions. And when I have an opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. But if you're here, and you understand deeply in your heart that you have no hope in yourself, in your righteousness, in your strength. And you know what sin is, and that's what you are. And if you know that if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Then you want Christ, you need Christ, and you feel in your heart you have this nature. That I desire God, I desire Christ, I'm looking after Christ, I want Him, I need Him, I got to have Him. And you have this nature in you that makes you want Him. And you don't want your life to be governed by yourself or by anything else. You want it to be governed by Christ. And Lord, I want You, I need You, and I acknowledge that I have no strength. And if that's what you feel that, and you've never confessed that, and you've never come up here to this baptismal pool, and you know in your heart that that's what's going on, I can tell you right now, you're a regenerated soul.
Already saved. Yes, sir. Already.
God done something for you. And that's what He said here in verse 15 of Galatians 6. For in Christ Jesus neither the circumcision availeth anything. That circumcision, that means anything to make yourself clean or acceptable for God. Nor uncircumcision. Well, I'm not under law. I don't have to, you know, I live the way I want to live and I don't have to answer to anybody. But all that don't avail anything either. But a new creature. And watch this. And as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? A new creature in Christ. Peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. And then let me show you another here that quick. I gotta hurry. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 with me, chapter 1, verse 2. Not only are we chosen in Christ, adopted in Christ, and made in the family of God, redeemed by Christ, accepted in the beloved, made new creatures in Christ, and God made us this for Christ's sake. But we're also sanctified in Christ, and that means to be made holy. People say, well, you need to be holy. I tell you what, I'm already as holy as God. God's holiness is a state of being. You can't be more holy at one time than you can another. And that's what really throws people a loop. They start looking to themselves for some evidence that they know God by the way they live. And if you start doing that, you're going to either be a Pharisee, or you're going to be depressed and discouraged all the time. Huh? And look what he said here in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, here we go again, in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints. That's what sanctified means. A saint means a sanctified one, a set apart one. Called to saints. Paul says, beloved of God, called to be saints. And what called to be sanctified means to declare holy.
Yeah.
To be actually holy. God said, be ye holy as I am holy. Now you reckon God's not going to let us, you think He's going to let us into His presence without us being holy? He just read to you over in Ephesians 1. He says, you know, that according as He hath chosen us in Him, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, ain't that what it said?
Amen.
And oh, beloved, to declare holy and to actually be holy. In Christ, we're all of these. We're holy and actually sanctified. And all, beloved, the firstborn, when they were first come out of the womb, whether it's an animal or whether it's a child, the firstborn was holy unto the Lord. They dedicated it to God and said, this is God's, right here. And the vessels in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, were holy in the service of God. If it was a spoon, if it was a bowl, if it was a snuffer, whatever it was, God said, that's holy. You ever seen a snuffer that was holy? You ever seen a bowl that was holy, a spoon that was holy? What made them holy? God said they're mine. And they're only going to be used in my service. That's what made them holy. You know what makes us holy? God said, I declare them holy. And they're used in my service. And I sanctified them and I said they're holy. Huh? And when that blood was applied, they were actually holy. And let me, look in Hebrews 10. You've got to see this. You just got to see this. We've seen this so many times, but to go with this right here, you got to see this. Hebrews 10. And then, my beloved, not only are we called to be saints and set apart in Christ and actually holy, but God sets us apart by the truth.
Yeah.
You know, chose us in Christ and sanctified through the Spirit and belief of the truth. God sets us apart by the truth. The truth keeps setting us apart. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And that word constantly keeps cleaning us and setting us apart. And then we're set apart by the offering of Christ. Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. To do thy will, O God. So above, when he says sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, was not your will. You never had any satisfaction therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will. He takes away the first. What first? Sacrifices and offerings. The fact that there was no satisfaction in those offerings. That he may establish the second. What's the second will? What's this will? By the which will? The will that Christ came to do. By the which will we are sanctified. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ.
Once for all.
And watch this now. Look down at verse 14. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. As many times as I've read that and preached from that, it still does something for me that I can't describe. It still does something for my heart and my soul. And then last, I think this is last. No, it's not. Not only are we sanctified in Christ, but there's no condemnation in Christ. Paul said he cried out when he said, that I would do, I don't do. And that I wouldn't do, I do do. He said, I see then that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, O wretched man, who shall save me from this body of death? And he said, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes, sir.
And then the next word out of his mouth, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Well, you just got through saying there was no good thing in your flesh. You just got through saying you was a wretched man. You just got through saying that you had a body of death. And what in the world? He said, I'm not looking at my flesh. I'm not looking at my standing in myself. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And why ain't there no condemnation? There ain't nothing to condemn us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died. Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to the charge? Law came. Christ fulfilled it. Sin came. He put it away. Flesh came. We're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. Why? Because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And this is last. No, it ain't. Oh, I'll get it here in a minute. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 2:14 real quick. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Oh, now this is another thing. Oh, these spiritual blessings. Would you rather have these blessings right here and know them and be like that woman that John Bunyan went to have dinner with, stopped by to visit her one time, and she was sitting there and they were getting ready to eat, and she set a piece of bread on the table and a glass of water. And that's all she had in the house. She bowed her head and she said, Lord, thank you for this bread and thank you for this water. Thank you for this bread and thank you for this water. And thank you for what I have in Christ. He's my bread and He's my water. And I tell you what, we can give thanks for anything if we're in Christ. And that's what He says here, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Triumph in Christ. My word. Triumph. Come in here with a long face like that. Whoa. Don't let anybody see it. Don't let God see that long face. Don't let me see it. I don't want you to see mine either. You know why? Because we triumph in Christ. Oh, do we get discouraged? Of course we do. Do we get depressed? Do we get stressed out? Sometimes do we get tried severely till we think, oh Lord, I cannot bear this burden? Do we get disgusted with ourselves? Do we get disgusted with others? Do we get offended and are we offensive? Surely we're not inconsistent. Do we feel slow, ignorant, dumb in the things of God and Christ? Feel as if we don't have a spiritual breath in us? Feel absolutely, totally carnal? Will these things defeat us? No. When will we triumph? It says right here, always.
Yes, sir.
Always. You say, I certainly don't feel like it. That's why we don't go by feelings. That's why we don't go by. If we went by feelings, how many would have been here today? I've sat home, felt sorry for myself here. That's what I'm doing. Life's so tough. Got a bunch of children that don't care a thing in the world for God. And it did. But when we always, how will we triumph? Always. How will we do it? In Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
You see, we're persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Where's that at? In Christ. Our love waxes and it wanes. It ebbs and it flows. But His love doesn't. That's why nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. Because God loves us in Christ. And this is my last one. Philippians 3. Talking about these spiritual blessings. And I'm going to preach from this again tonight. But go from it entirely. I'm not going to go to Romans or Corinthians tonight. I'm going to deal with this again and go from an entirely different way of looking at it. Not only do we triumph in Christ, chosen in Christ, redeemed in Christ, adopted in Christ, in the family of God, heirs of God, sanctified in Christ, new creatures in Christ, triumph in Christ, but we rejoice in Christ. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write Philippians 3:1. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and listen to it, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Who else are we going to rejoice in? Who else are we going to rejoice in? All's in Him. All's done by Him. All depends on Him. Let others rejoice in the flesh. But we're going to rejoice in Christ. Because He did it all. All to Him I owe.